The Foundation of God's Government. Commentary for the June 1st, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees get together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Matthew 22, verses 34 through 36. Founded on the heels of the great Millerite disappointment of October 22, 1844, when Jesus failed to appear as determined by William Miller's failed prophetic calculation for the date of that return, Seventh-day Adventists sought a confirming identity for their movement in the very prophecies that had failed Miller. One of those keys to identity was based on the assumption that the end times were upon us, so it would be important to discover what would identify God's people in those final days. A clear definition seemed to be found in the final verse of Revelation chapter 12. They were those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. The testimony about Jesus had the potential to be an ambiguous part of the equation. Did it mean simply believing in Jesus and taking a public stand for that belief through baptism? Did it mean demonstrating the character of Jesus in our lives? Eventually, someone discovered Revelation 19:10, where it reads, "It is a spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus." Since Ellen White claimed the prophetic gift and was endorsed as such by the early Seventh-day Adventist founders, in their minds, that box was checked, and the denomination had the testimony of Jesus part fulfilled. This is why Ellen White is often referred to among Adventists as the spirit of prophecy, since she was the only one that the denomination recognized as having that gift. It was important to sustain the understanding that she fulfilled and continues to fulfill that position as an identifying mark of God's chosen remnant people for the end times, even to the present, after she has been gone for more than a century. To question her prophetic gift is to question the denomination's claim to be God's chosen remnant. People who have given their entire lives to promoting that idea get a mite surly whenever they feel any trembling deep down in undergirding of the denomination. Nonetheless, there have been those who have questioned that status since the beginning of Adventism and found themselves persona non grata with the denomination. For those who are employed by the denomination, it can be career-ending, as it was with Desmond Ford and others who demonstrated understanding toward what he was teaching. For those not in denominational employment, it was a guarantee they never would be. Though we are far removed from those days, the spirit involved seems to be anything but the spirit of prophecy manifesting the testimony of Jesus. The other half of the identifying mark of God's people was keeping God's commands. The most obvious commands of God are the Decalogue, or Ten Commandments, found in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. But how does that differentiate an end-time people from all others who claim to follow Christ, but nonetheless are not God's chosen remnant? When detailing the commandments, most other denominations agree with the first three and the last six as continuing to be applicable for God's people. But the fourth commandment is a line in the sand that most denominations will draw between themselves and Seventh-day Adventists. While observing nine of the Ten Commandments, they will assert that the law has been done away with for God's people when it comes to the fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment. It boggles the mind of Adventists to hear that the commandments have been done away with, yet all still apply save one, especially since the Bible says that commandment was a gift from God a birthday gift to humanity. Using Jesus in this way to abolish any commandment is to set Jesus and Moses at odds with one another, and I doubt that would ever be the case. The experience on the Mount of Transfiguration revealed that Jesus and Moses were close, and doubtless continue to be. It is hard to believe that God would say to Moses, "Remember all those things I told you to tell the people to do? Well, forget about the Sabbath one. I don't care about it anymore." We might respond to Jesus by pointing out to him that we fellowship with him in other ways now. But I can see him asking, "What's wrong with the day I set aside for you?" One can see how this can be a dividing issue between God's remnant and the rest of humanity in the end time. It can be tempting to blow up this division into a fulfillment of receiving the mark of the beast in Revelation chapter 13. But such accusations only drive a wedge deeper between God's remnant and those honestly seeking a relationship with Jesus. Building walls is not as productive to that end as opening loving arms. Although they may not admit it, even Seventh-day Adventists stumble over the commandments. Let me explain. As our opening verse reveals, Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus' response was simple, yet profound. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39. Could this be the essence of the identifying mark of God's remnant people regarding his commands? Some have said that keeping the first four of the Ten Commandments is loving God, and keeping the last six is loving your neighbor. These may be examples, but like all examples, they fall short of the whole. If I feel that keeping the first four commandments is loving God with all my heart, soul, and mind, then I don't understand what is meant by love. Too many strive to keep the letter of the law, and love has nothing to do with it. They fear what might happen if they don't. That betrays them and shows that love has nothing to do with their obedience. Love and fear cannot coexist. Love drives out fear. Love seeks the best for others, whether God or our fellow human beings. We do this even for our enemies, as God has demonstrated that he does, and asks us to do the same, to be perfectly in love, even as the Father is. It is this love that sets us free from the law, not as our Sunday-keeping friends imply by abolishing the law. Our love causes us to return God's love and treat him with respect and dignity as our Creator and Redeemer. When every aspect of our relationship with God is founded in love and trust, there is no law to regulate that, nor is one required. By example, our love and respect for God leads us to appreciate all he has done for us, including the gift of the Sabbath. And we would no more see a reason to cast that aside than we would to cast God aside. Lovers simply do not kick one another to the curb, nor toss the gifts they have received into the rubbish bin. To do so is to deny the other the opportunity to love us. The only reason one would do that would be fear of what might happen if they were to accept that gift with an open heart. But fear is evidence that love must still be nurtured in that heart to set it free from fear. We may deny the fullness of a love affair with God for fear of what others might say or do. People we look up to. If so, we have the privilege of approaching God with prayer, just as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as the Father sustained Jesus, he will also sustain us, growing us to be all that we were intended to be, with a life of purpose and direction, steered by love and sustained by the closeness of that loving relationship with God. It is only through that growth that we can learn even to love our enemies. It is when we love, not because of who they are, but because of who we are. Those who struggle under the law have yet to grow to freedom from that struggle. While some think that observing Sunday instead of the Sabbath somehow proves they are free of the law, that is foolishness. For they are bound to their man-made law even more securely than are those who keep the commandments out of fear of what God might do. But Adventists are not better off, for they have not found the love in the Sabbath gift, but rather keep it as a burden for fear of the price of disobedience. I pray that all find a love relationship with God and with that joy and purpose for their lives. The prophet Isaiah has God saying, "Come now, let us reason together." But in Jesus' answer regarding the commandments, I hear God saying, "Come now, let us love one another." Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find other podcasts, commentaries, links to articles by the author, and books by the author at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find the written version of this commentary at that location, along with the scripture footnotes supporting some of the ideas shared here. Once again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.